Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Coming up on TMS, both too early and too cold for a fish sandwich.
You've got dementia.
The most important thing was the meth we took along the way.
New stock is in at Charvana.
Hoarding avocados.
Verticals in space.
We're all dying since yesterday.
Elwood would do anything for $10.
Vintage people be talking.
Rambling rampant.
Jerry Stringer.
Check out my prepper wife, dude.
Wrapped in hot plastic.
Making toaster ovens great again with Bill.
TMS hats don't fit Bobby and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
Just spray GLH on and it instantly covers your bald spot, leaving you with great looking hair. And ladies with thinning hair or bald spot, GLH solves the problem instantly. GLH is not a paint or a cover-up. It's an amazing powder that clings to the tiniest hairs on your head. It actually builds on itself, leaving you with great, great looking hair.
Got a minute? Then you've got time for a hot steak sandwich.
The Morning Stream.
Morning Stream. Bread goes in, toast comes out. You can't explain that.
Hey everybody, welcome back to the Morning Stream. Today is Tuesday, February 22nd, 2022. That's right, 2-22-22.
Oh my god.
Or as the British more correctly do it, 22-2-22, which is way better.
Yes.
Way, way better. That's all we're going to say about it. Okay, that's it.
I don't think that is. I think it will come up again.
You think it will? All right, we're going to test your. Yes. We're going to test your my resolve and see whether or not I bring this up again later. Maybe I won't.
Okay. Maybe I won't.
Maybe a guest will come in. Like Bobby will do it because now he's thinking about it.
Right.
So he'll say,
It might be two. You know, science related to twos, or our final cover of the day might include a two in the title because of that. Who knows?
All right,
we'll
nice
have to see.
Nice hint. I like your hint.
Yeah, thank you.
You're welcome. Hey, we're back. It's me and it's Brian. We got a show to do. I hope you're having a good Tuesday morning. So far, we are. I think. I don't know. How's your Tuesday mornings? Okay, a little cold.
So far, so good. It is freezing cold. It is currently 0 degrees, or as my watch says, -0 degrees. So it's on the lower side of zero.
Well, speaking of those Europeans, what is that in space points in the Celsius
less
there?
I have no idea.
So theirs is zero. Absolute zero for them is...
-20? No, -20 is where Celsius and Fahrenheit meet. So
they'd be in the 30... -30?
Yeah, I can't remember.
No, -40. Says
-40 is... Oh, right. -40 is where they meet. That's right.
Right. Yes. Absolute zero is absolute zero, whereas for us it's 30. Right?
Right.
I think.
Right.
Anyway. Well, so that means something, folks. Yesterday we were talking about Brian going to all these fast food places and saying it's too early to get a fish sandwich. Right. We're going to wait for a warmer day, okay?
I had my map. I kind of had things planned out. I was going to bypass Taco Bell and just do Burger King, Wendy's, and McDonald's. A, because I think time-wise that would fit in the full half hour. But also B, because I go to that Taco Bell and they know that's not my voice when I pull up to the...
Oh, are you like a regular enough to they would know your voice and stuff?
Yeah, they have had the same people. There's an older lady there that has worked there for the last 3 years and only does drive through.
Wow.
And she's like, "Oh, Diablo sauce." I'm like, "Yeah, okay, yeah." Like, because I always get Diablo sauce. She'd know, but you know, they don't know when I'm on the speaker.
I will say this
morning I did work on that voice so that it wasn't just going to be is it too early to get a fish sandwich? And if they say, yeah, sorry, no fish sandwiches until 10:30 or 11 or whatever.
Yeah.
Okay, well, let me get some hash browns. You know, it's like, you know, figure out the follow-up.
You're going the full Monty. I love it. All right.
It is. It devolves. The more I do the voice, the more it devolves into George W. Bush as done by Will Ferrell, but like a cranky, high pitched one. Maybe a Dana Carvey, Ross Perot kind of thing.
Nice. Well, I'm very much looking forward to it, but we're gonna have to wait for a warmer day in Colorado. Yes. Okay.
Yeah, it'll be after I get back from California. California.
Soon. When is that? I got a plan.
Next week. You probably should start planning now, Scott.
I probably should.
Seeing as 1 week from today, you will have a different person hosting the show with you.
That's right. And you're going to be gone till what is it?
4 days. So I will be back for TMS PM? No,
so
I won't.
So you're gone for the whole, basically the week of TMS.
The week of TMS. Okay. Yeah, I mean, I'll be here for Monday.
Right.
We'll do Monday.
Oh, yeah, we'll do Monday. That's right. Then Tuesday through Thursday, you're not here on Friday.
Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, I'll be gone. And then Saturday, I'll be back for FilmSack.
Nice. All right. So there you have it. I will have some guest hosts lined up. I already have some ideas about who they'll be.
I imagine Kim will be one of those.
Probably be one of them.
Just do a skim-ess.
She's a favorite, so we'll have her back, I think. Yeah. And then we'll do, I don't know. I'll think about the others. I have ideas. Yeah. And maybe not the usual thing. It might be someone. I don't know. I don't know. But we'll all be waiting anxiously for Brian to get back. I can tell you that much.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Kim episodes will be good, but those other ones will be terrible, and you'll be like, man, can't wait for Brian to be back because that was so bad. They'll say,
yeah. Oh, geez, this was whose idea was this, co-host?
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Hey, I'd say yes, it'd be fun to get Jury, but that dude don't have time for a tiny segment once a week. Are you kidding?
I don't think
it's going to happen. All right, let's do a thing I've been dying to do. Actually, it's not true. I just thought of it yesterday, but I got a game I'm going to play.
Dying since yesterday.
Okay. Yeah, dying since yesterday. I guess technically we've all been dying since yesterday because we're all going to die one day, and we were one day younger yesterday, and it's how it is. So
it got dark.
It did get dark very quick. Here's what I'm going to do, Brian. I'm going to test you. You're always testing us. You're always quizzing us. Sure. I'm going to quiz you today.
All right, quiz me.
Here's what I want to do. Now, this is less about information. It's more about sensory. What's the word I'm looking for? Things you heard. We'll talk about your hearing in the years, in the decades of 1980s and the 1990s.
Okay, so these are what, just like sounds of things from those decades?
Sounds
not
of things,
like
yes.
Music or voices or anything like that, but like here is the sound of an HP letter writer or something like that.
Sure. And they'll be common. There'll be things that are big and you'll know them, but you may not remember names and things. So that'll be the fun of it, right?
Okay. All right. Yeah. I'm excited about this. All right. Let's do it.
So let's do this game. This first one might be too easy, but let's just throw it at you anyway and see how you do. Chat room, shut up in there. Don't tell or Brian, don't look at the chat, I guess.
Yeah, I'm not looking at the chat.
Because
that's
can't.
The chat room. I'm going to keep my eyes focused there.
I can't tell them not to be, they'll never shut up.
Yeah, they gotta prove how smart they are.
Yeah, they're very smart. All right, here you go. Number one, this is your first one. Let's see how you do.
Okay,
what's that?
That is well, give me that one more time. I know that.
Very late 90s.
Is that okay? Yeah, this is jeez Louise, I'm already off to a crappy start. This is it's a video game thing, right?
I don't know.
All right, it is I know it's not the stupid little fairy that flies around Link in one of the Zelda games. That's hey, is that a sound? It's almost like a Pokemon. Crap,
all the chat rooms know it.
But I'm sure they do. Yeah.
All the chat rooms, all the people in the chat is what I meant to say.
All right, so we can move on. I'm going to say it's a Pokemon. No, it's not. It's a Tamagotchi. It's a Tamagotchi.
Is it a Tamagotchi? Nope. No. It is the ICQ notification sound. ICQ.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Remember
I don't
that?
Feel bad. Never used it.
You never used ICQ?
I never used ICQ.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
That thing was on
ICQ,
all the effing time.
Really, yeah.
Yeah, ICQ Messenger. That thing was the bomb. It was the OG, man. Nobody had Messenger until that thing. It was great. Yeah. All right.
All right, good. I don't feel so bad.
Don't feel too bad. All right, now we're back in the 80s. How's this one?
Oh, that's All right, so that was the red, and then the yellow two times, and then the blue, and then the green. Yeah, that's Simon. Come on now.
Nicely done. That was the Simon game. Well done. Easy one. Softball.
Yeah. All right. I love that thing. Oh my God. I had one of those, like, got it as a Christmas present when I was visiting birthday present when I was visiting my grandparents in California, in Los Angeles.
Mulberry Hill.
Mulholland Drive, near Mulholland Drive.
Oh.
And they got one of those for me. And I think I spent so much time on it one day that my grandmother yelled at me for not doing anything else with my day.
Oh my gosh. She yelled at you. Oh, young Brian getting the...
She kind of yelled at me a lot. That's kind of a family, like, we all know that she
was a yeller.
She yelled at everybody. Yeah.
They called her Old Yeller by the end? Is that how that went?
Old Yeller. Yeah. Yes, exactly.
All right, here's one for you. I think early 80s. Okay.
All right.
Here you go.
That is a Pitfall Harry going across on a vine across a pit full of alligators that are...
Well done. Very good. You were quick on that one. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Now we'll move back up in the timeline. And this should be easy.
Oh, that is a messenger application. Which one is that? Is that AOL? Let's say AOL.
You are correct. AOL Messenger. Okay. Well done. Okay. Nicely done. I was worried about that one, or I thought maybe you wouldn't get that right.
Yeah. You've got mail.
Here's another 90s piece of business.
Oh, yeah. I'm about to play some Battle Arena to Shinden after that thing goes off.
Yeah.
That was the startup noise of the PS1.
Nicely done. PlayStation 1 startup noise. All right. You're doing great so far.
Yeah.
All right. This is going to be maybe name. You'll know what it is, but it'll be tricky remembering all the details. So okay. I'll just play all it. Right. Here you go.
To a barrel roll.
Oh, that is that's the video game. Here's the thing. I always connect it incorrectly. I always connect that with Star Fox. But there was no talking in that game. It was like Slippy Toad and all that. Mm. So it's a different video game, but I always connect that with doing a barrel roll in Star Fox. The actual game is, what is it? Pilot Wings 64 or something? Oh, crap. I'm never going to remember which game that actually really truly came from.
All right, well, here's your answer. The answer is Star Fox.
It was.
It is Star Fox 64. That did have voice stuff in it.
It did. All right. God, there was so much Star Fox Mandela effect with me that I could have sworn, like... So SNES was the first Star Fox.
Yeah, and the SNES game did have just jibber jab. Yeah, that whole thing. Nobody was actually saying any words in that thing. However, the 64 did feature these voice samples, and I always misappropriate it to Slippy the Toad saying it.
Yeah, Slippy Toad. No, because Slippy Toad had
had his own thing.
Voice.
But this is Peppy or whatever his name is, right?
Right, right.
So I wish it was Slippy, but it ain't Slippy. I always get it wrong. All right, here, Brian, this is a tough one. Early 80s, you and I are, you know, young kids, entering our 12, maybe we're 12 here. I don't know, 11.
Okay.
So here you go.
That is either, is that the basketball or the football? That is the little handheld Mattel electronic. I'm going to say it's the football one.
You are correct. Nicely done.
Good. Okay. Thank you.
That little thing. I used to think it was Coleco as well, chat room. I always have that wrong. It's Mattel.
It is Mattel, yeah.
Fun side note, though. The Mattel football game was programmed by the same dude who programmed NHL 94, which we talked about on Play Retro yesterday. So,
oh, interesting. Kind of cool.
Yeah, that was his claim to fame. All right, here's one, 90s, and I think you'll probably get it because we all were forced to hear this all the time. Here you go.
That is the Nokia ringtone.
You are 100% correct. All those little freaking chocolate bar handhelds had that
phones,
damn tone.
Yeah, exactly.
Good job. Here's one. Oh, this is maybe too easy, but whatever. Think 90s, I guess. Maybe 80s even. Right. Here you go. Only that part.
Oh, that is the opening title card music for... DreamWorks? I'm going to say DreamWorks. SKG.
Let's check.
Disney. Which one?
Disney.
Disney. Oh, okay. That's just the. Oh, it's about to go into the.
Dice Tomato's very upset that you got that wrong.
Yeah, fine. That's fine, Dice Tomato.
All right.
Oh, I got a WTF for that one.
Yeah,
jeez.
That was a big one. What the fuck?
All right. Listen, I remember that it was a movie title card. That is something. Come on now.
I agree. And I cut it short to be hard. So it's partly.
You cut off the When You Wish Upon a Star.
Yeah, I made it exactly. Tricky. All right, here's one that you'll. This one's easy.
Okay. That is the PlayStation 2 startup sound.
You would be incorrect.
Oh, is it 3? Is it 3?
Nope. It's the Windows 95 startup sound.
You're absolutely right. Yes. Was that the one that was designed by Brian Eno?
Oh, like, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah.
See, that's info I didn't have. I didn't know that. That's kind of cool.
Windows 95. Yes.
Yep. It's very early PlayStation.
I know. Yeah. Jeez. Yeah, I should have gotten that one. Absolutely.
Not so bad. All right. Here's I hate this. I hate what I'm about
Dice
to play.
Dice Tomato is so angry. I've made Dice Tomato so angry.
I know. Let's trigger him further with this one.
Yeah,
all right?
Okay.
Here you go.
That is the opening noise, or it's the noise that Tim Toolman Taylor made on friggin' Home Improvement.
You are correct. Nicely done. I hate that sound. Don't you hate that sound?
Yeah, I do too. I absolutely hate
it. I hate it so much. All right, Home Improvement. Next up.
Hopefully, in the Buzz Lightyear movie that we're getting, which is just called Lightyear, right? Is that right?
I believe it's just called Lightyear. Yeah, I believe so.
I'd like to hear that character do that noise, since he won't be voiced by Tim.
Yeah, it's Steve Rogers,
All I can
Rogers,
think of is Tim
right?
Taylor, but it's not Tim. The character is Tim Taylor.
Tim Allen.
Allen, thank you. Jeez.
Yeah, yeah. And wow. Then you got now. Yeah. So since this is what's his name? Captain America. Now he's the voice. What's his name?
Chris Evans.
Evans. I don't know. You'd have to ask him if he'll be willing to do that for you. I don't know.
Oh, Robert Fripp did Windows 95. Okay, which one did Brian Eno do? Brian Eno did.
He did.
He did one of the startup things. Yeah.
Windows XP maybe.
Maybe, yeah. Could
I don't remember the XP startup, but that would have been 2000.
Brian Eno, Windows 95 startup sound. I did get that, and thank you very much.
Oh, who told you
maybe,
wrong?
Maybe, you know, Fripp and Eno worked together. They were both little prog rockers, but maybe Fripp performed it and Eno composed it, but I don't know.
Just love the name Fripp.
Yeah, Robert Fripp.
That's a great name.
Prog rocker Robert Fripp.
Amazing. All right, here's your here's a tricky one. Let's see here. Here we go.
Oh, okay. That is.
I'll do it one more time.
Is that? It's a Galaga is what's coming to mind. Is that the noise it makes when it captures your fighter and you're getting the two fighter? It's not, is it?
Is that your final answer?
That's my final answer.
The correct answer is that is indeed a Pokemon. In particular, it's a Charizard.
Oh, okay. Yep. Yeah, I never played any. My first Pokemon game was Pokemon Go.
Good point.
Oh, no, that's not true. I did play. So Tristan was big into it, so I did play one of his discarded Game Boy Color Pokemon games.
And that's where this was from, was a Game Boy Color game. So this was the one.
Yeah, okay. So I probably should have recognized
that. Nah, dude, that's so long ago. Who's going to remember that?
Yeah.
All right, here's one that's obvious.
Welcome.
You've got mail. Yeah, that's the dude from AOL. I know I've played it before, but he did a Coverville intro for me.
Yeah,
for
it's great.
For $10, you could get him to say anything. It was like pre-Cameo, AOL Cameo.
Is he still around, that guy?
I don't think so. Back in the AOL days, he sounded like he was 70.
You've got mail, guy. Let's just see where he's at. Because if I wonder, probably. Oh, okay. Let's see. He is old. Oh, no. I think he's still alive.
Elwood Edwards? That name. Like, how could there be somebody still alive with the name Elwood Edwards?
No kidding. I think he's still around.
72.
All right. Well done, Elwood. I wonder if for $10 he'll still do it. I don't know. That seems it seems cheap now, right? Doesn't that seem cheap?
It does seem cheap, yeah.
Even though
totally
that's his
whole... $10? Are you kidding me? I would have blown 100 and had him say a whole bunch of stuff.
Yeah, crazy.
You've got dementia.
That's terrible.
I don't want to hear him say that. Oh, to make me sad. All right, final two here. All right.
Okay. All right.
Easy one, I think.
Hey. All right, that is that friggin' Link Fairy dude.
You are correct. I forget the name of him though. It's Navi. Navi. Or Navi.
Yeah, Navi, that's right, Navi.
Yeah, yeah. Navi, whatever it is.
There was a video game character called Spec, or was it just Pee-wee's dog?
Oh.
I know Pee-wee Herman's dog, the little dog was called Spec, but I think there was some other assistant character named Spec.
Video game character?
Like it was a little piece of dust to talk to or something.
I love that idea. Spec, Full Metal Panic?
I don't think I ever played that.
Let's see. Yeah, according to this, there's one character named Spec from a game called Full Metal Panic.
All right.
And I don't know anything about it. But that's a great name for anything. Spec is a good name.
Yeah, Spec.
Final question. I haven't been keeping score, so I don't know how you've done. But you've done pretty well, actually. Overall,
I feel the Windows 95 thing, black mark on the day. My day is now ruined because of that Windows 95 thing, but maybe this will redeem me.
Oh, small correction. Full Metal Panic is an anime, but there is a game based on it, and I'm reading from that wiki. That's why I found it.
All right.
here you go. Game Boy. Oh, shit. I just gave it away.
You're supposed to play the sounds, yeah, Scott. See, the way this game works is you play the sounds.
And our winner is, I'm pulling a Todd Cochran here with the answers. All right, I'll play it, and then you can tell me if I was right. That's it's a Game Boy sound. Weird.
That is the sound of turning on a Game Boy.
All right, well, you get a freebie on that one. Well done. I had a lot of fun tracking these down because I was just doing stuff from memory.
Oh, did this yourself. That's cool. Yeah.
Totally did it myself. I was like, you know what? Nice. What are some things I remember hearing when I was a kid that I thought, or when I was younger, where I thought they were, you know, interesting, or I was in my 20s, like that Nokia sound. And I was like, well, what are the ringtones? So I went like through, I don't know, 7 or 8 main brand, like Motorola, the... What was the name of their cool phone that flipped? Motorola.
Track 4 or the...
They had pink ones.
Oh, yeah. You know, Zephyr's right. Like, that sound, I'd never even thought about it, but the sound of turning a Game Boy on was exactly the Mario's getting a coin sound.
Oh, wait a minute. Oh! Yeah, it is!
Yeah.
I could have fooled you if I hadn't blown the first thing. Yeah.
Actually, I might have said Mario getting a coin. Interesting.
Yeah.
Oh, the Razor, the Motorola Razor.
Razor, that's what I was thinking of. So I went through a whole bunch of those, and I was like, well, none of these. I mean, I didn't have a Razor, and like some people did, but it was super exclusive. But everyone had a Nokia, so that's why I used that. And I thought about doing more video gamey stuff, but then I thought, well, that's too easy. How about more like weird things, like the ICQ sound? Man, I got you with that one. I stumped you hard.
Totally, yeah.
But you never had it. Did you do the Trillion thing later where you had all those things grouped into one? Do you remember that? Trillion was great.
Never tried that one. I was thinking, all right, maybe he's going to give me some sort of After Dark noise or a Merlin, the sound of a Merlin being played.
That's true. You were old school Mac back then, too, so you had all those Mac things. I almost did the Flying Toasters thing. I almost did do that.
Did you? Because that just was like a flap, 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 flap. That's all that is.
Would have worked, though.
Did you have a Wildfire pinball?
No. Oh.
That was the best. I don't know how that game could be as good as it was, but it was like a little handheld pinball game.
Oh, I take it back. I did have this. Yeah. 79, 80, something like that. Look at that. Yeah. Oh.
And it should never have been as good as it was, considering how few LED spots there were on this thing.
Yeah, because it worked like the football game, sort of, right?
Right,
like,
exactly. But there, you know, the... yeah, look at that thing. Oh, man. And you had four flippers. You had the two on the bottom, and then you had two up top. And, but the location, I'd love to see if there's like a thing that shows where all the dot locations are, because it's just, it was horrible.
Yeah. Those things were a weird relic, man. Like the fact that we were cool with this, just a bunch of dots. I mean, I don't know, whatever. But it's innovative for its time.
But the physics worked. Like it was, very felt as accurate as anything was at that time as far as the ball movement and that sort of thing.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. And also I remember capturing the sound from that Mattel football game. I realized that football game was not really football. Like,
right.
It was just avoid the dots. That's it.
Right. It's almost like, because basically you're just navigating. It's almost Frogger because you're navigating around obstacles going forward.
Yeah. What was the, I guess it's fine to call it football, but now that I look back, I'm like, why'd you even call that football? Because I guess people liked football. I don't know.
Right. My friend Kevin had the football one. I had the basketball one. I had NBA or whatever it was. The
same deal, though, right? Little dots and all
same
that.
Same deal. Yeah. But football had the whistle. The sound you played was the whistle blowing.
Yeah. Got to have that whistle. Well, anyway, nice stroll we just took down memory lane. I enjoyed it.
Oh, look at that. Captain Kipper, do me a favor for some kind of like Brian, little dopamine ASMR hit. Play that Captain Kipper Wildfire Pinball YouTube.
Okay, here it comes.
See if that's got some audio.
You can find the manual on handheldmuseum.com and also on Gary Kitchen's site. And both of those sites, I believe, have
Mr. Yakky Tack talking over
it. I know. Jeez,
too early.
I'm trying to get just sound from it. Maybe there's a way to get...
Probably about halfway.
Let's see. Let me try it. Yeah, let me see if I can skip ahead. Now, this is him talking the whole time.
Oh, really?
Oh, how about this one? Here's one.
Okay.
I think this guy's just playing it. And it's taking forever. YouTube, what are you doing? I've noticed for the last 3 days, YouTube's having some weird early load stuff. Have you noticed this?
Mm-mm.
It's not my internet. It's like some funky kind of let's take forever kind of problem. It's just spinning. All right, we'll let it come when it comes.
All right, never mind.
Anyway, I'm here to give you sounds that give you ASMR from your childhood.
Thank you, yes.
You know, that's the goal. Here we go. Oh, was he
vintage
talking?
Electronic game.
I'm going to skip ahead. Here, you going to play him, bud? Probably. Okay, here
seems
we go.
To work.
Uh-huh.
Adjust the speed.
There you go.
Hold one flipper and turn the other one.
Okay. Boy, vintage people can't not stop talking. That's their deal.
Exactly.
Just yapping. What are you going
to
do?
Because they think, I've tuned into this YouTube. People are tuning in to hear me talk about this video game.
Yeah, the answer is no. That's never... I mean, yes, some people's content is all about the person behind the mic, but sometimes I just want to see shit, you know?
Yeah.
Just show me things, exactly. YouTube. All right. Well done. Right. That was fun. Now we turn to the important news of the day. Today's news brought to you by...
Ow, bam! Upload? What if you live-streamed your best friend's secret identity to the whole world? That's the story explored in Super Best Friend, issues 1 and 2, now live on Kickstarter at superbestfriendcomic.com. Marvel as Matty Moore, a live streamer sidekick, ventures into the fantastic world of superheroes to repair his friendship and discover his true destiny. This 44-page comic book is written by Ringo, nominated writer Jason Inman. Oh, we love Jason. Mm-hmm. And features a cover by Death of Superman artist and comics legend Dan Jurgens. Oh, also very cool. Scoop up the first issue at superbestfriendcomic.com.
Yeah, that's really awesome. And I'm excited. Anytime Jason launches a new Kickstarter or does anything with Ashley, I get really excited.
The Jupiter Jet stuff was great. Oh, man. They're such good people.
Yep. So go check it out. They are good people. They're good people with a good product. They've got multiple comics-based Kickstarters under their belt, and they've killed it on every one of them. So if you want to go see what's up next, go check it out, superbestfriendcomic.com, and we'll talk about them more tomorrow. Check this out. Bakersfield, man. Is Bakersfield the meth place? Right.
In California, that's the, I think Fresno, I thought Fresno was the meth place.
Was it?
Maybe Bakersfield.
Maybe.
Because Shoujo used to live there. She'd be able to tell us.
Oh, yeah. She in chat today? She might be able to tell us.
If she is in chat, I don't know.
She's usually here.
I saw her earlier. Is she?
I hope everything's all right. She was here yesterday. So I see. There she is. Bakersfield is in far north. Okay. So the reason I always think Bakersfield is if you play Grand Theft Auto 5.
Yeah.
They have a town that's named kind of like Bakersfield, where Trevor comes from, and he's the meth head psycho. And they treat that whole area like it's a meth joint, and I think that's supposed to be like based on the real thing. So a lot of meth up in that part of California. Anyway, sorry, right. California. We're not trying to throw you under the bus here, but you know, you got your meth problems.
Sorry, California.
Sorry, California. Oh, I love that song. Bakersfield man claimed to be infected by mayonnaise.
Sure.
Could spend life in a mental hospital for wife's murder. Oh, geez. I mean, I hope you do.
And the mayonnaise by mayonnaise, wife's murder. Okay. All right.
Let's see how we get there. Probably meth helped them along the way.
Yeah.
When questioned in the death of his wife, Nathaniel Robertson claimed he had been infected by Mayo through the machinations of a powerful cabal.
Somebody needs to play a little more Wordle, KGET News.
Yeah, no kidding. Get in there and make that happen. Preliminary hearing begins right away because it needs to. In a rampant statement, Robertson also told detectives
rampant.
I just realized that's the wrong effing word. Robertson told detectives he showed
No, the end of this sentence is
It's gnarly. Showed his wife compassion and mercy when he crushed her head with a concrete block. Jeez Louise. He indicated he'd been using crystal methamphetamine, according to reports. No. I didn't want it to be a painful thing, he told investigators in 2019 when he described the killing. I didn't want to hit her a bunch of times. I just wanted to end it. I wanted to end her suffering, he says.
God.
That's a Noriega
thing. That's a related story. Yeah.
On Thursday, Robertson, 49, age 49, found not guilty by reason of insanity for second-degree murder and could spend the rest of his life in a state mental hospital. Three doctors determined Robertson was legally insane at the time of the killing, and the court also found that to be true. Robertson will be treated and not released until doctors and the court determine that he is no longer a danger to the public. Excuse me. And and not without further hearings to determine if release is ever appropriate.
Eww.
Sentencing's on March 30th. Anyway, yeah, so he did that. And he claims the reason all this happened is because Mayo, he got infected by Mayo.
Why was he one to end his wife's suffering if he's the one with the infected Mayo?
That's what I say. Ingestion. Yeah, you need to go get.
I mean, let's try and figure out why this crazy person did what he did. I miss the days when people used just to drop an ATM machine on their significant other.
Yeah, that was while Jesse Pinkman watched in horror. Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
You know, if you were, okay, let me just say, if you're overloaded with mayo, totally unrelated to this story, let's just say you ate a ton of mayo, you've been spooning it right out of the Hellman's bottle, right? Or the thing. And you've had so much of it that you've overdone it. How would you counter it? I don't mean go to the hospital or go yak it up, but would you eat mustard or something to counter it?
Like,
would you
a mayonnaise antidote?
Yeah, what would that be?
Quick, I wonder. Give me the best foods.
Another brand, maybe. Yeah. Whatever. You go barf it up. That's what you do.
That's what I would do. Is just barf it up. Oh yeah, that's what I meant. It's a Miracle Whip.
Miracle Whip.
Moose 2271 says, Brian, is that a Sergeant Pepper's picture next to you? Oh, come on now. No, this is not a like new recreation of the old Sergeant Pepper's album. This is the original Sergeant Pepper's vinyl.
Look at that thing.
Complete with the cutout card where you could cut out your own Sergeant Pepper mustache.
Nice.
And your own Sergeant Pepper like buttons and stuff like that. This is
weird.
Yeah.
That's really weird.
Yeah.
Is there a little yellow submarine I can take out and make a little paper submarine out of it or anything?
Maybe with the Yellow Submarine album there is. But yeah, and then you get the picture of the dudes here in the middle of it. Yeah.
I mix those two works up. I always think Yellow Submarine is just part of that. Why do I do that?
Well, Yellow Submarine, so the soundtrack or the song actually first appeared on another album, and I can't remember if it was Rubber Soul or Revolver had, and then they did the soundtrack, and it was the lead track, Hey Bulldog and all that stuff was on there as well.
Okay. So that, I noticed there was like even a ring, like an imprint ring from where the record sits.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Around the back. Yeah,
around the back.
It's stuff that, it's the stuff that they make, new albums look like they're vintage by adding that white ring for the vinyl.
That's awesome.
It's like creating the wear and tear on your jeans artificially.
I think that's great. I love it.
Yeah.
It shows use. I like use. All right, here's another fun one for you. Drunk brawl breaks out between two naked sisters at Disney World. All right.
Well, here's your two story. Your two naked sisters story.
Yep, here's your two naked sisters. 22. This is what you get on your 222-22. We got Jerry Springer. Springer. Jerry Springer style brawl. It's hard to say Jerry Springer style.
What have we learned today?
Broke out at Disney World between a pair of drunken naked sisters, culminating in the duo tussling
in the bushes after one slipped on the other's vomit.
Perfect. Wow. This,
yep.
This story gets more and more. Florida.
Yeah, yeah. Sounds good to me. Let's see here. The newly revealed late October incident reads like the plot of an entire Jersey Shore episode. According to Disney blog WDWNT, and its latest series of headline grabbing dust ups at the Orlando, Florida theme park. Forget that. The ill-fated evening started out with the sisters, who were tourists from New Jersey. Also, they're from Jersey. Grabbing dinner at Disney Springs at a steakhouse, and then hitting an Irish pub for drinks. That's your problem,
Yeah. Yep.
According to details recently revealed, when the sisters, aged 29 and 31, were ready to go back to their motel or the hotel off the resort property, their phone died, and Disney security helped them call an Uber. So far, so good. The Uber driver refused to take them, saying they were too drunk. So the security guard called a taxi, because those guys will take anybody. While they were waiting, the pair began arguing. The older sister called the younger sister a bad mum, which sounds British.
No.
Yeah. And then slapped her. In return, the younger sister allegedly threatened to punch her. Eventually, their clothes got all ripped off and they were naked. Yeah.
Feels like a... Are we sure this wasn't a TikTok challenge?
Feels like this one. Feels like one, doesn't it? It's pretty bad. Yeah. I guess you got to be...
No, I'm ripping your clothes off. No, I'm ripping your clothes off.
How drunk do you need to be for this to go this bad?
Oh, pretty... very... blood alcohol level that's more alcohol than blood. Is
yeah.
Basically.
Yeah, we've detected some blood in your alcohol stream is what you would say.
Yeah, exactly.
It'd be the opposite. Go ahead.
We found out, so Disneyland and Disney World both said after 2 years, starting last week, or maybe even starting this week, no masks are no longer required in indoor areas, which is, basically we were all planning, oh, we are taking masks and we're wearing masks. It's going to be a bunch of people from other countries are totally wearing masks there. Colorado also lifted mask mandates at a lot of places. And when they were talking about it, too, and I like, oh, yeah, no, we're totally going to still wear our masks for a while. Mm-hmm. Something strange. That first day we went to, Ace Hardware and nobody was wearing masks. Boy, we could not have taken our masks off quickly enough. Okay, yeah, I think we're all right with this now.
Yeah, it's there are enough. I mean, with COVID rates dropping again, which is good. Yeah. They did this last year too before they upticked again. So I hope we won't have an uptick this time.
Colorado, 90% of the population right now in Colorado, 90% is immune to Omicron right now.
Meaning
because of a combination of vaccines and then the additional percentage of people who've had the Omicron variant without getting vaccines.
But they're immune for what, 3 months or what's the they
something like that? Yeah.
That's not bad. That's pretty good. So maybe in 3 months it gets bad again. I don't know.
I don't know.
Was some talk of some Delta Cron combo that was like Omicron and Delta mixed, and then they found out it was like some goof up in the data where they were just crossing data from the two forms, and there is no actual combo. Which that's great news. As much as I don't like mistakes, that's a great mistake to make because now it's like, oh, okay, you were mixing up data from two different strains. There is no third strain that's a combo of those two strains. I don't want any of it coming back is all I'm saying.
Believe me, we're taking masks and some of those enclosed areas like that little tunnel in that you go down for Space Mountain. Mm-hmm. I'm still wearing a mask in there. I'm fine wearing a mask in there.
Yeah. You going to wear it? You going to go in?
In the outdoor areas, I'll still have it off. And it'll be nice to ride some rides, outdoor rides, and not have a mask on.
They should put masks on all the presidents in the Hall of Presidents.
Yeah, I'm not. That is when you look at how much you spend for a ticket to Disneyland and you go into that Hall of Presidents, which seems to last forever, and you start calculating in your head while Roosevelt is talking, you're calculating in your head how much you're spending to sit in there and listen to animatronic Lincoln do his talking. It's like, oh, yeah, I think I can just watch this one on YouTube.
Yeah. Well, the main thing, I got a friend, as he writes for the The Washington Post. He's a games journalist there.
Yeah.
His name's Gene. Some people in the chat may know Gene Park. Really cool guy. Anyway, Korean-American guy. Cool guy. Anyway, he was vaxxed and boosted, but he ended up catching Omicron anyway. And his initial week-long COVID was fine. It was mm-hmm. gnarly, but he was okay at the end of it. But now he's one of these guys that is just like settled in with some hardcore long form something. Mm-hmm. Long COVID, whatever they want to call it now.
Right.
But we still don't really understand very much. And it's to the point now where he has to, in the shower, and he's a young dude. He's like 40, maybe just turned 40. He has to have a little seat in there in the shower, because if he lifts his arms above his head, it's so exhausting, he almost passes out.
You just pass out? Jeez. Oh, yeah. That sucks.
It's really bad. Like, his doctors are like, we still don't know quite how to even do anything with it. They don't know what to do. So anyway, I don't know why I'm bringing that up, but nobody get long COVID is what I'm saying. Okay.
Yeah.
Avoid that.
I'd like to avoid it as well. So yeah, another cyborg dude said, the stretching room at the Haunted Mansion, get a mask up for that too. Absolutely. Yeah. That's like that is standing room only, packed in tight little room.
Mm-hmm.
If I could just, put a balloon over my plastic bag over my head for the 2 minutes.
Yeah. COVID, short COVID, we can deal with. Long COVID, you don't want. How is the Haunted Mansion these days? Is that fun?
I still love it. It's Pirates of the Caribbean are still my two favorite older rides at Disneyland.
Okay. Do you have a favorite, what is your overall favorite ride that isn't, let's forget the California Adventure exists. Forget that exists.
Okay, all right. Well, then I'm taking Guardians of the Galaxy off the table because that is my favorite ride at a Disney park.
Right.
It's hard to top Rise of the Resistance, the new Star Wars thing. That is the most epic experience. It's not even right. Like, a ride is part of it. But the overall experience of that thing is just amazing. So Rise of the Resistance is probably my favorite thing there.
Yeah, and Rainbow Bright's asking if they still have the Tower of Terror, but that's literally what they turned into the Guardians of the Galaxy.
Tower of Terror what turned into Guardians of the Galaxy. Yeah. Now in Disney World, it's still Tower of Terror, Twilight Zone Tower of Terror, and they are building another Mission Breakout Guardians of the Galaxy ride there, separate from the Tower of Terror.
That's because they got the room. They can do it.
They have the room. They can build it. Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. They didn't use all that land the way Anaheim did. Anaheim's out. They're done. Anaheim's landlocked. You're stuck.
That's right. Nowhere to go but up.
Yeah. What are you going to do? You going to tear down the convention center and expand there? I mean, maybe you could, but I don't know.
Yeah. Rainbow Bright. I loved that. Was my favorite ride prior to this, right? The Tower of Terror. And then when they rethemed it to Guardians of the Galaxy and added the 70s music and added a whole bunch of other stuff, it's like, I don't know how you did it, but you made this ride better. It is my favorite thing to do at Disney. Like,
I
probably could spend half of the day getting off that ride, walking around, getting back on that ride. And
it's like being a little kid again at Disneyland where you just go on the same one.
Totally.
Yeah, I love that. All right. Well, there you have it. It's Brian Heaven, Genie. That's right.
Kind of is.
Let's do this final story. Lithium ion batteries are fueling the fire on a burning cargo ship full of Porsches. Did you see about this? This is crazy.
No. Oh, no.
So it's just like this massive ship out in the middle of nowhere on fire. Shit. And it's because these batteries blew up, and the batteries take forever. You can't just put them out. It's like, what's that?
Right. It's like those the forever burning birthday candles that joke candles.
Whoa. My wife just informed me it's $115 million worth of cars.
Oh, wow.
Lamborghinis and Porsches. And the funny thing is, it's nice to see you, by the way, honey.
Hi, honey.
I haven't seen her since this morning.
I know.
But as if we're not having a shortage of cars enough. I guess these are high-end cars, so maybe we don't care that much, but whatever. Yeah. I guess we kind of do. Anyway, so...
They're cars that a good portion of us never would have bought.
Yeah, that's a good point. The cargo ship Felicity Ace is aflame from bow to stern. I love that. That whole sentence is awesome.
The Felicity Ace
is aflame from bow to stern. And then it gets boring. With a lithium ion battery fire, they can't be put out with water alone. The fire has been burning since Wednesday on the 16th. It's still burning as the ship drifts in the Atlantic about 200 miles southwest of Portugal's Azores Islands. Azores, how you say it?
Just Azores.
Is it Azores?
Azores.
Yeah, it could be Azores.
Azores, big boy.
Yeah. 22-person crew abandoned ship and was rescued on Thursday, so they're not in any danger at the moment. But this thing is full of Porsches and other luxury cars, also Bentleys, it says here.
and some of those were electric vehicles. Not clear how, what started or what happened, but they think it was a greasy rag and a lubricant slicked engine room. I like how this person writes. This is good. This is great. I like good use of adjectives. I'm a big fan.
No kidding. Like, this person keeps their thesaurus at the ready.
Yeah, I'm in for that sort of thing. Captain of the port says the nearest, let's see, the batteries in the ship cargo are keeping the fire alive. They're trying to figure out how to extinguish it at this point. Part of this might just be letting it burn out. Large quantities of dry chemicals are needed to smother lithium-ion battery fires, which produce hotter... or burn hotter and release noxious gas in the process. Yeah, I don't know what they're going to do.
I'm thinking clearance sale.
Yeah, dude. It's a little scratch and dent. Yeah.
A little burn here, a little toasty there. How much for a Porsche Carrera?
Yeah,
can
no
I get
kidding.
A Porsche Carrera?
I mean, if it's stem to stern, that makes me think that every car is affected, but maybe there's one or two that are just like a little stinky, you know? Maybe.
Yeah.
On the outskirts, be a little Lamborghini that just forever have the BO smell like on Seinfeld. And they can't get it out.
The O is transferred from the B to the car.
The whole car. I smell like it now. That's a great episode. We just watched that the other day. All right. That's your news for the day. We're going to take a break. When we come back, Making Things with Bill and some time to learn some science with Bobby. I also have a quick email for Bobby I'm excited to read. So we'll get to that. Cool. Before all that, though, Brian, you brought a song, I guess.
I brought a song. Yeah. This is a woman who goes by the name Sasami. S-A-S-A-M-I, Sasami. She has a brand new album coming out. It's called Squeeze. Comes out this Friday via Domino Records. This is, I think, the third single that she's released from it. This was so good. Even though they gave me the single, I bought the whole album because it's awesome. And it reminds me of Haim, who I also love, who I'd see in concert if they weren't touring with the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Nobody needs that.
The Chili Peppers are going to ruin Haim. They're never going to be the same after touring with the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Yeah, the real Chili Peppers are going to break Haim.
They're going to break Haim.
Break Haim. Yeah.
Exactly what's going to happen.
Yeah, that's all I want to say about that. That's it.
So this is the song "Make It Right" from Sasami, and tell me if you don't hear a little Haim in here. I did not. That was absolutely not planned.
Nope. I believe you because I could hear it in your voice that it wasn't, but that's amazing. Nicely done. All right. Well, let's play this song. Let's do it.
Okay.
Here it is. We'll be back in a minute. Please, whatever you do, stay tuned.
Another day. For 100 years, we've been scrunching and folding toilet paper. Finally, there's a better way.
See this ugly yellow stain?
Curse your sudden but inevitable betrayal. This is the Morning Stream.
And we're back, everybody. Hey, Brian, remind me who made that song one more time, will
you? Yeah, that song you just heard was Sasami and the song Make It Right from her upcoming album Squeeze, which comes out Friday.
Oh, well then get your groove on, everybody.
Get your groove on.
All right. I forget who we're doing. Oh, Punish Props. Let's get him in.
We're doing Bill.
That's right. Let's get Bill in here. Let's find out what he's been making. And why we might want to be making it too.
Your bat cave's open there, Bill.
Welcome Bill Duran to the show, who is in his offices there in the Pacific Northwest of punishprops.com. Hello, Bill. Welcome back.
Yes, my office. Definitely not my dining room.
No. No, 100%.
During the pandemic, I got rid of the dining room table and put all my computers in here.
Yeah, definitely not that. It's definitely a high-rise series of buildings, a whole complex, really, where... Bill makes things and does so from his high horse. Hey, Bill, it's good to have you back. We always love hearing about what you got going on over there. I've been hearing so much about Brian's minis and prints and stuff lately that you're all starting to make me look like an idiot for not being more creative with physical things. So today is the day that you could tell us more about that. What's going on?
All right. I wanted to talk a little bit about a process called vacuum forming. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you're familiar, but it's a really cool process. We use it a lot. I've recently been doing quite a bit of vacuum forming, actually. I did some visors, some space helmet visors, and a couple of other smaller projects.
You know, when you watch, like, Face Off is where I got familiar with vacuum forming, and it just was the coolest. Like, I wanted to just take stuff around the house and do vacuum forming on them.
Right?
Hell yeah.
It's so satisfying.
Yeah.
So... For those not in the know, the idea is you have a form that you want to copy, right? Let's say, for a space visor, I have a 3D sculpt of the visor. And then you take a hot sheet of plastic. Well, you take a sheet of plastic and heat it up until it's really, really soft. It almost feels like a piece of fabric. It's so soft. Mm-hmm. Though it is very hot. You shouldn't touch it.
Yeah.
Then you press it over that three-dimensional form and suck the air out between them. And the plastic gets wrapped perfectly around that form to make a hollow copy of it. You'll see a post on Reddit every once in a while of people making shells for some luggage, like a big hard plastic shell for luggage.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. They're machines, and if you watch like the big industrial automated vacuum forming machines that do that, it's really great.
Yeah, they're really cool. I'm looking at a video now of somebody doing it over car models.
Yeah, and, like a RC car.
Yeah, it's really cool.
Yeah.
So let me ask you this. Kim vacuum forms food for sous vide. She does it for storing. Like check this out.
You mean like a Sealamiel kind of thing is what you're talking about?
Kind of. Yeah, there's one that they make specifically to use for, well, I guess you'd probably use it for both, but if you're going to sous vide something, you can vacuum pack it first, then put it in sous vide so things don't separate is the idea. Mm-hmm. And then when you're done with it, you unpack it, and then you can fry it or whatever you're going to do. In this case, so check out my prepper wife, dude. She went and bought... so she heard that avocados were going to go up in price because Mexico was being told to stop shipping them here or something. Something happened. I didn't hear about it. I don't know what happened. But we can't get avocados. So they're expected to go skyrocket. So she goes down to the place she always goes, and they had a ton of avocados, really good ones, for way normal price. And she's like, these are about to go up. I'm going to buy a ton of these. So she bought a ton of avocados like a week ago, brought them home, guacamole out of it.
Guacamole? Okay.
Didn't mix it with other spices and things. Just
like avocado futures. She's betting on the avocado futures market.
She totally is. And then she bagged these vacuum form seal bags full of avocado mush. And now they're stacked in the freezer like this high. And they keep really well in freezers, especially if you vacuum form them. So now we've got enough for the next year and a half
in case those prices go up. So she's a huge prepper, and I can't wait to find out what our bunker looks like when it's finished. All right.
Yeah, it's all going to be gone. Cinco de Mayo, it's all going
to
be gone.
It'll all be gone by then. So Bill, sorry, back to forming vacuums over cars and things. What, tell us more.
Yes, yeah. So, yeah, very fun and satisfying process. So, like I said, we mostly use it to make visors for costumes. In fact, I've made several visors for one Adam Savage's space helmets, which is pretty cool. That's what I was doing a couple of weeks ago. And one of those, I don't think it's still on display, but for a while, one of those space helmets was on display at the San Francisco Museum of Modern Art, which makes me feel pretty cool.
Yeah. How'd that work out? How'd you get that gig?
Well, he did the getting it in the museum. I just made the visors. He asked me to make the visors for him.
That's awesome.
I mailed them to him. He added them to his spacesuit, and then he convinced people to put it in a museum.
That's really cool. Nicely done, dude. That's very cool.
So the art, my art teacher mom was pretty stoked to hear about that.
I'll bet. Can you explain to me how it gets all the air out, though? Because that I'm looking at video after video here. I can't tell where that's going.
So the bed that the form is laying on is frequently perforated with many tiny holes. And there's a vacuum hose underneath that that's connected to the bed. And it sucks the air out, and the air gets pulled through the surface that car is laying on. Mm. And the video you're showing, it's this sort of brown-looking board.
Mm-hmm.
There are probably many tiny holes in it or around the edge of it.
So you don't end up with pockets of air. Because that just seems like it would be really hard to make sure you got every single bit of air out of there.
Yeah, and it is a bit more, it's a science and an art, let's say. So that one that was just shown, there's a bit of webbing on there, which is not ideal. That's where a piece of the plastic gets pinched a little bit, and the pinch kind of rides up onto the form, and then they just showed another one where they did a better job of it there.
Yeah. It seems it's a mix of, I don't know if there's a brand of one of these you should be getting, but it seems like there's, I don't know, maybe the shape has a lot to do with it, probably.
Yeah, the shape that you're doing, how much you heat up the plastic and how much it sags. You want it to sag about the same height as the height of your object. But again, this is all very loosey-goosey. A lot of it takes practice. So when I was making visors for Adam a couple of weeks ago, the very first visor I did was a complete fail. I hadn't used that form before, so I actually let the plastic sag a little bit too much, and I got a bunch of that webbing. So I had to sort of figure out my recipe, my process.
Is it expensive to experiment with? Like how, you know what I mean? Like if you blow a whole thing and it's all webbed up and you got to do another one, is it like, oh, well, there goes $80? Like how does that work?
The plastic I was using for that was about $120 a sheet, and I got 8 tries per sheet.
It's not bad.
So, yeah. I math isn't my thing, but got to figure out how much that is.
I think it helps you that math's not your thing because a lot of the stuff you do is crazy expensive, and it's better not to think about it.
It's better to not know. Yeah, absolutely.
Right. Yeah, I think that's fine.
So we make those visors using PETG plastic, the same stuff you make your Coke bottles out of, and that people do a lot of 3D printing with now. It's really easy to form, and you can also tint it with fabric dye, which is pretty cool. So you can have like different colored see-through visors.
Nice.
And the process is great for making pretty much anything that you want to end up being hollow and lightweight. Being see-through is just another bonus of the visor stuff. But I used recently, I used vacuum forming to make a decorative shell for a quadcopter. My friends at Film Riot are doing a short film, and I made some props for them. They wanted a quadcopter, but they wanted it to look not stock. So I vacuum formed a decorative shell that just sits on top of it, and it's very lightweight, so it can actually still fly.
Oh, yeah. So I just watched somebody do this with a car. The same idea. You're basically putting a new shell on top of a car.
Yeah.
Without having to even remove what's underneath, I guess. I guess you still can keep the guts of the previous shell in there if you wanted, right? You can go a little larger. Okay.
Yeah, with RC cars, it's really easy to pop the shell off and pop a completely different shell on and change the total look of your car.
Mm.
That's basically what I did with this quadcopter.
Are there giant vacuum forming things?
Like, oh, yeah.
Oh, really?
Yes, okay. There are. Look up industrial vacuum former on YouTube. You'll find some crazy cool machines.
That's awesome. Because you, in theory, you could do this to a real car, I would assume.
Right?
Right?
Yeah. At that size, it makes more sense to make a giant mold and do like a fiberglass layup.
Yeah.
Or to do it in panels. It just makes sense. But you could do something that big, I'm sure. I wonder what the biggest thing is that people have vacuum.
I would love to know. Can you make
boat hulls, maybe? I bet they've done it with boat hulls.
Could you fab a house?
Probably parts of it.
Yeah, do it in chunks, right? But then assemble it and have like a cool pop-up thing. That'd be all right. It'd be the right material. If you had to have the right material, though, it can't just be plastic, right? It'd have to be...
Yeah, you'd have to pick the right thing.
Fascinating.
It also has to be a thermoplastic. It has to be able to melt and then recombine or when it cools, it has to be solid again. That's pretty important.
Oh, is that a... So are there plastics that don't... I thought all plastics did that if you spread them out. Is that not true?
No, what you want to look for is a thermoplastic.
Okay.
Is what they would be called, yeah.
All right.
You can 3D print the form, which is pretty cool. That's what I did for that drone. I modeled the form that I wanted. I printed it a solid buck or pattern, and then I just vacuum formed styrene plastic over the top of it. It was a really great hand-in-hand workflow with your 3D printer.
Yeah, that's interesting. And are you going? Do you have any? I mean, I know you've been doing these masks and stuff, but as you do them, do you ever go, "Oh, you know what I could do?" And then you're off to some new project. Are you getting inspired by this?
Normally by the time I'm done making like 8 visors for Adam, I'm like, cool, let's not do that again for a while. it is tedious the way I have my big vacuum former set up.
Mm-hmm.
But I've seen people with much more streamlined processes where I bet it's a lot more satisfying.
Sure. Why not? That's really the cool.
I wanted to point out the machines are getting more available for hobbyists. I've seen in the last 5 years, a handful of hobbyist level vacuum form machines pop up. Before then, you just kind of had to make your own machine, which is what I've done.
Mm-hmm.
And if anyone's thinking about getting into this, you can make one out of a toaster oven and a shop vac, which is my smallest one is exactly that, a used toaster oven from Goodwill that I got for like $8, and the shop vac that I already have.
That's awesome. Do you have video of this? I want video of this.
Of the toaster oven?
Yes.
I have a video on my channel of building that. So if you go to my channel and look up toaster vacuum former, you'll find it.
I don't know why I find that so fascinating. That seems really cool to me.
Everyone loves it. It's one of the most popular videos on our channel. For whatever reason, just taking an $8 toaster oven and turning it into a machine like this is very satisfying.
Wow. All right. Yeah. That's really cool. Awesome.
So yeah, the small one is great. I use it more often than I use the big one. And it's a lot cheaper to use because I'm using like tiny squares of plastic. It's great. And there's a million things you could use it for.
Oh yeah, look at these. Oh, you know what? If I look up toaster vacuum forming machine, you are number one video that comes up.
That's right, SEO. Yeah. Hey.
You're ahead of Adam Savage's. You're ahead of...
Take that, buddy.
Yeah, take that, dude. Like, you... Well done, Bill, is all I'm saying.
I know, jeez, right? Jeez,
that's awesome. All right. Well, very cool. Oh, and this is one of the ones where you used to put your cartoons of yourselves up. You still do that every time? Or do I just... Am I
No, I don't. I think we sort of just slid away from that.
I you like know how those. This,
the content you make sort of just changes over time without really trying?
Yeah. I did
those
that
Those cartoons
today.
Are great, though. My friend Molly drew those, and she's a wizard.
Yeah, they're great. She's. I have those stickers on my fridge. So.
All right.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I still have those. See, look at you making it. Oh, look at this. It is great. Plus, you're wearing your N7 jacket. You're about 10 years younger here.
I know. Jeez.
Very young man doing his business. All right. Well, Bill, that's awesome. Do you have any kind of bonusy content today for us?
Yeah, I do. I've been watching this channel. This guy named Daniel Schiffer. He does product videos, and then he shows how he does them. So this one is a... drink commercial. He shows how he filmed this fun drink commercial with some, I would call them special effects or video effects, where he like pulls the cap off of the drink bottle with a fishing wire and then removes the fishing wire in post later, so it looks like the bottle just flies off the cap flies off the bottle, and then he reverses it so it looks like this cap magically flies onto the bottle. It's great. He does all sorts of videos like that.
Did he hand animate these like prep these spec videos that he did?
Yeah, I wonder.
Oh, what?
Really good.
That's awesome. Okay, you know what? I just realized. I think I follow this guy's supplementary short content on TikTok and didn't even know it.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen him do this where it's like throw smoke at the right time, pull the cap off in the camera in slow motion, and like all these crazy cool techniques.
They're all really fun little projects. And in the end, you get when you edit this stuff together, you get this really snappy, cool looking effect. And he's got a whole bunch of tutorials like this. So if you're looking to do fun product videos, definitely check him out.
He also has a hat on that he has to pull the tab, the sizing tab on his hat way out. And there's a huge 3-inch thing. I don't know what that's like in real life. None of my hats I could do that with.
So you want to just reach in there with a pair of scissors and just snip that right off?
He has a normal head is what I'm getting at. And I have a fat, ugly, weird noggin. And I don't understand what happened to me. Anyway, hey, Bill, these are great. Bill Duran, of course, over at punishprops.com. Find him there. Find him on his YouTube channel. Always fun talking to you. And we hope you have a wonderful week.
You got it. See ya.
Bye, Bill. Hey, Brian, there goes Bill.
Bye, Bill. Bye, Bill.
See you later, Bill. Bill. All right, we got science class. Everyone sit down. Put your papers away. Science class is starting, and I hope you're ready for science.
Science.
Look who it is. It's your science teacher, Mr. Oh, his hair. Oh, I thought you cut your hair for a second. I was going to lose it. I'm like, wait a minute. That's not going to happen. Guess who it is, everybody? Bobby Frankenberger joining us with not cut hair. It's just pulled back, tied up. It's fine. Mm-hmm. You're never going to cut that, right?
It's fine, people.
You're going to keep it forever, aren't you, that hair?
I don't know. I like to experiment with my hair, and I did like it when it was short, and I could do different things with it, and it's easier to do fun different styling things when your hair is a little shorter.
So. Yeah, that's true. It's also just get up, rub your hand through it, and move on with your day, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Whereas, it takes a long time for me to wash my hair.
Yes.
And my head is also really big, by the way. Hats don't fit me either.
Interesting. Wow.
Yeah. I don't know what the deal is. No one makes a hat that fits big-headed guys. I know. That's not true.
I bought a TMS hat from the store.
Mm-hmm.
Quick plug for the TMS store.
Yeah, check it out. Frogpants.com/store. Go ahead.
Yeah, so I bought one because I wanted to wear it to Vegas. I did this the last time we were supposed to do Vegas, and that got canceled.
Yeah.
But I want to wear it, but it barely stays on, and you know what I'm talking about. It barely stays on 100%. My head. It's basically like just placing it on top of my head, so if I run too fast, it'll fly off.
Yeah. Well, everyone around you is wearing it just fine, even having to adjust it to make it slightly tighter. But no, not us. We're freaks of nature, and I don't get it. I will say, Under Armour hats fit me, some of them. Mm-hmm. I don't know why. They're a little, you know, they're still like not the loosest type of hat I can wear. It's the only kind I've found anywhere, and I have to get them online. You can't buy them in stores.
I think it's because they're deeper. Like the cup of the hat is
that could be
deeper.
It. Yeah. But you look at me, I'm proportionally, I don't have a big head. It fits the rest of me. But I also have small feet. I'm weird, is what I'm getting at.
I do not have the benefit of being tall and having a large body. I am 5'10 with a giant head. So.
It's going to weird me out to see you.
I also have small feet.
I do. I wear.
I know. It's just really funny.
I wear 10s or 10s and a half for a guy who's 6'4. That's small, right?
Yeah, that is small. Yeah.
My son has 12s or something. I don't know what happened to me. My ears are small. That's because my head's big. All right, moving on. Hey, Bobby, I got an email I want to read to you first before we do anything else. And you guys are encouraged, if you have a little question for Bobby, you can totally send him into the show. This is what Toby says, very short, says, hey, ask Bobby if he has a favorite bit of science fiction that he thinks we should still see happen in real life, says Toby. You got anything where you're like, oh, man, that scene in, I don't know, Alien 4, we should have breath recognizers or whatever. Like, what do you think? You got anything that pops to your mind?
Oh my gosh, that's such a good question that I have not thought about before.
I kind of sprung it on you. This is the trick.
Surprise!
potato farming in Mars would be great.
You got to use your own poo, though.
The replicator is, you can't beat the replicator, right?
Replicator is the best, yeah.
Yeah, that should, you know what? That's the answer. Yeah, although, I mean, isn't it constant? We figured this out. I think it was on the show where we figured out it was made from the crew's poop. right?
Right, exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
Is that canon or is that your headcanon?
I think that's canon. Because the idea is that they're not forming it from nothing. They have to have molecules. Right. Scientifically, right. You got to have molecules to do it. And they're okay with it because, yes, scientifically, they're separating everything, the waste from the whatever, and that all of it is coming out of your out of everyone's waste. Listen, so
if Kevin Costner can do it with his pea plant in Waterworld, then Star Trek can do it with their poop food.
What if? Oh my God! What if all your particles, when you go through the transporter,
mm-hmm.
what if that gets all mixed in with the toilet particles, and really you're just like, they're just recreating, like, it really is like Soylent Green,
mm-hmm.
and you're really eating people.
Yeah, kind of. Mm-hmm. I think you are. Mm-hmm. Like, in some way, I don't know how mixed it is or how picky they can be about pulling a molecule out and moving it or whatever, but according to the science of it, I have this book somewhere, a Star Trek science manual. And they go into, like, deep detail on transporters, replicators, all that stuff. And part of it is, yeah, it's pulled from the waste of the crew and then recycled. And then now you're eating it again. And so there's still this, you know, they still see, so you have episodes like this where they're like, we're not happy. You know, this is a chocolate sundae, but it's not the same as a home or a real one. Well, that's because it's made out of people. Yeah. Made out of poop. And I think, didn't the Voyager people, they had to, that's why they had a galley, because there was something wrong with the replicators long term, where they, if they couldn't do something, they couldn't keep eating their own waste or something. Wasn't that the deal? Anyway, doesn't matter. It's a fun little side thing.
I believe you. I believe that you believe it.
I believe it. I do believe it. And I haven't seen Voyager in a long time, so don't you know, quote me on any of this. But do quote Bobby on whatever he's going to talk about today. Bobby, what's the science of the day? What are we doing?
There's some research. A paper was published last week that details a medical advance that could dramatically reduce organ transplant rejection. I've been into organ transplant news lately. And
like hearts, lungs, kidneys, all that stuff?
Yeah. And this particular advance could potentially create universal donor organs, because, you know, just like blood typing, tissue in your body is type. Like, your organs have AB typing, just like your blood. They call it ABO grouping.
Sure.
And so you have to have, the organs have to match, the donor's type has to match the recipient. And so it's just the same as that, you know, an A organ can be donated to an A type or AB type person, you know, all that kind of stuff.
Right.
The important thing is that, just like in blood, you know, if you have a blood type of O, then you're considered a universal donor. You can give your blood to anybody, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's the same thing with organs. And so these researchers at the University of Toronto published a paper that details a method that they use to convert a type A lung into a type O lung. And the process only took about an hour.
Whoa.
To do.
Or was that, so just move the possible rejection process to pre-op? Because there's still a chance it would reject the change, though, right? I assume.
Yes, there's always still a chance of rejection. And this is also just a proof of concept. They haven't done it in people. What they did was they took the organ, without going into a lot of detail about how typing works and why it works. I am going to talk in detail about that when I do this on the show in a couple weeks. I have to do some research on it. But basically there are markers on the outside of the cells, and those markers determine the type. But type O people don't have any markers at all. Type A and type B people have their own markers. Type O has no markers at all. And so what they were able to do was they found an enzyme that they could use to bathe the lungs in that just removes all the type A markers, so it doesn't have any. And now that effectively makes it a type O lung.
Weird.
And yes, rejection is definitely possible, but this would reduce the risk of rejection. I mean, this would theoretically, hopefully, eliminates or dramatically reduces the risk of rejection due to typing.
Let me ask you this. So that all makes sense to me, and that's awesome. Mm-hmm. So that's a huge jump forward, and obviously real tissue inside of a person's body is probably the better way to live out your life. But, you know, we always heard about what an innovation and amazing thing it was when the first artificial heart happened. And everybody was stoked. It was right here in Utah. It was a University of Utah thing. And everybody flipped out. It was such a great thing. But I don't hear about innovations or where we're at today with heart transplants. And that was, what, 40 years ago or something?
Yeah. Yeah. And Barney Clark was the first.
Barney Clark. That's, yeah. Great memory. I totally forgot that guy's name. So now, do we still do that? Are they smaller? Do they have Wi-Fi? Like, what are we doing with hearts? Artificial hearts.
Increases 5G, little miniature 5G tower in there.
Yeah, what's going on?
I bet you they do have more advanced artificial hearts. They're probably just over time been incremental advances, so they're not like big, you know, announcements. It's like batteries. You don't hear like gigantic battery news because every year batteries get a little bit better.
Yeah.
You know? And that's just true. Batteries today are better than they were 10 years ago, which were better than they were 10 years before that. But you don't hear like the news about a life-changing battery because it's just tiny changes. And I bet you the heart's the same. Artificial heart's the same. They just make incremental changes. So.
Yeah. I'd be curious. Like if I always thought, like when I was 10 or 11, when that news broke, I remember thinking, oh, well, by the time I'm 70 and need a new heart, they'll have a neat little robot heart that'll just pop in and I'm good to rock. And actually, I really do think that should still happen. And I don't know why we're not there, but whatever. What do I know? Speaking of science fiction, that hasn't happened yet. Anyway, well, that's really cool. That's good news for people on the list, I suppose.
Yeah, there's still a lot of work to be done to figure this out. You know, this was only able to be demonstrated in type A lungs. They still have to find the proper enzyme for type B lungs and type B tissue. And then, of course, they have to test it in animals and then, you know, see if that works. And then you would go to humans. And again, there's still a risk of rejection. There's a lot of unanswered questions still, like will the lungs or will the organs, you know, reject anyway? Will the organs, will those antigens that are the type A antigens on the lungs, even though they've been removed, will they grow back? That could be a problem. And if so, if they do grow back, is that something that you can deal with like immune suppressant drugs? So there's still a lot of work to be done. But this is the fact that they can take off these antigens at all to convert it is great. They also tested the lung after they did all this. It was a healthy lung that was able to be transplanted before, and when they converted it, it was able to be, they tested it again in the same way that they would test any lung before transplanting, and they found it was healthy lung. It was still good. It still could have been transplanted by all the typical measures that you use. You know, is it inflating properly and stuff like that.
How about those pig hearts? How you feel about those?
Well, it seems fine to me.
Yeah, you're all right with that.
You're talking about the ones that are the genetically modified pig hearts?
Yeah. The ones they're actually growing and farming to be heart. I'm sure there's like lots of specifics about who gets them, but you know that's another angle on this thing, right?
Yeah, if we don't talk about the ethics, if we ignore the ethics of farming pigs for this purpose, which I don't think we should ignore, but just to not dive into that conversation, I think it's a great thing. I think it's good. It has the potential to save so many lives, you know, and provide so many more hearts to people. And you can custom make them in a lot of ways. One of the big problems with organ transplants is it's not just, you can't just put any organ into any body. Forget all the compatibility issues with typing like we were just talking about, but it also has to be the right size. If it's too small, then it won't be big enough to do what it needs to do, like in lungs and hearts specifically. Because
so for Brian, who has a really big heart, he's a big hearted guy,
huge heart,
biggest heart you've ever seen.
Just need to find a really big pig.
Yeah. Yeah, see, there's an answer to this quandary.
Yeah, exactly. Right. No, that's the solution.
There you go. Yeah. All right. Well, that's this super interesting stuff. I mean, I'm not in any hurry to have any sort of heart work done, but I like that there's advances here so that when we need it, and most people, you know, at some point you might. I mean, maybe at some point you're supposed to just let your heart die and you go and you're dead. So when I'm 90, don't call me. But if this happens next year, hey, let's go. Let's get it on. Let's get my pig heart in there. or a fake one, or this typo thing that you just talked about, who's obviously terminology I have completely wrong. Hey, Bobby, that's going to do it for us. Any thing happening in your upcoming world of podcasting that you want to tell people about?
Well, we've got the episode of All Around Science that just came out yesterday. We talked about, did you know that there are giant viruses?
No.
No.
Yeah, there are.
Are they visible with the naked eye?
They're visible with a microscope, which is unusual for a virus.
Yeah, no kidding.
What's the relative? What's the relative size? Like much bigger, or like what are we talking?
Oh, in orders of magnitude bigger than a typical virus. Oh. It's like think about it this way: viruses so you can look in a microscope and see bacteria, right? Like that's big enough to see under a microscope. Viruses are so small that they infect bacteria. And you can't see a typical virus under a microscope because it's like nanometers. It's so small, you just can't see it, and they infect bacteria. But these giant viruses can be as big as bacteria. And one of them is called, what was it called? I think it's called the Mimi virus.
Oh, Mimi?
Mimi, like Mimi.
Yeah, they get that from, it's the virus that... Dr. Honeydew let loose
right, exactly.
Now we
but we talked about that on this episode that just came out yesterday, and because there are giant viruses, of course viruses don't care. They'll infect anything. There are viruses that infect other viruses, and they're just, so we talk about that, and it was a cool conversation. This that we were just talking about now, about the lung transplants and all that kind of stuff, I'm going to be talking about in a couple weeks. So I'll remind you guys again, because this is really cool, talking about blood typing and all this stuff. So
yeah, very cool.
Look forward to it. All very Around nice. Science.
Yes, All Around Science. Podcast. Get it wherever you get your podcasts, you bunch of weirdos. And Bobby, all I can say to you is I hope you have a fantastic rest of your week and that your hair remains glorious and beautiful and your hats fit you. Bye. All right. Well, done it, Brian. We had two guests. Normally, Brian would be out honking at his third fish sandwich request. Didn't happen today. Sorry, everybody who was looking forward to it.
I'd be doing that on a normal Tuesday.
Normal Tuesday activity. Don't ask for a new segment, you guys. We have enough. I think it's going to do it. Anything else you got going you want to mention before we go?
Nothing. Soundography was yesterday. Now that I have this, this really cool camera app, big thanks to... who was the listener who told us about Shoot Cam Pro? Yesterday.
Who was that?
Yeah, whoever it was, thank you.
I can't remember. The
quality on that blows away anything I was able to do with the document camera, with the GoPro. Mm-hmm. So this is just perfect. And so I will have a painting stream. I'm work on Moon Knight today. And you might be surprised what I do with the Moon Knight Mini that I have to paint.
Ooh. Okay, yeah. So when's this happening?
A little teaser right there, a little clickbaity.
When's this happening? I want to watch it.
This afternoon, probably 2 p.m. or I'm going to shoot for 2 p.m.
Okay. All right. Yeah. I've got
Matuba,
it right now.
I think it was Matuba.
Oh, was it Matuba did it? Okay.
I think that's
That was awesome. Yeah. I thought it was TV's Travis, but I don't think maybe that wasn't it.
No, TV's Travis, he does a lot of mini painting streams as well, but...
you can zoom with this app. This Zoom has an app, or this app has Zoom. I haven't messed
with this. Yes, which is exactly like, and that's what's made it perfect, because I can have this thing out of the way, but still up high enough, zoom with my phone, and get a great shot, as you saw how clear it was of that freaking Moon Knight.
ISO control? Oh.
Yeah.
There's a bunch of shit in here that's cool.
Yeah, that's what makes it so good, yeah.
Torch. What's Torch?
Sets fire to the rain.
Oh, it turns your light on. You can adjust how bright. You basically
that's cool.
Have lighting.
Oh, your torch. Yes. You got to watch the videos by the guy who created this, by the way. He's also like a, home DJ mix master kind of thing.
Oh, that's cool.
He is great. Yeah. He's like, all right, well, the first thing we're going to do is we're going to turn on the app.
Nice. I like a British guy who uses the word torch.
That's right. Yes.
You can also, you may have mentioned this, but you can write on it John Madden style. It's like a little scribble
right, Telestrator.
Button. So you can go here and go, it's a woman
painting this area here. I'm going to be painting it white. And then over here, we're going to be painting this gold.
Oh, it doesn't let you use that. Oh, no, it does.
but it reminds you, oh no, it doesn't stay unless you buy Pro, which is fine. That, you know, I wouldn't mind buying Pro. I guess Pro is more expensive than $4, but whatever.
Right.
Anyway, right. That's a rad app. I'm going to mess with it later as well because I need that for this whole other thing. It has nothing to do with modeling, but I'm excited to see your stream. That's it for today. Thank you all for being here. Patreon.com/TMS is how the show is fueled. Please go there, throw a buck or more at us, and we'd love you for it. It's just a monthly thing, so it's not like every day. That's the other thing. People get scared. They're like, am I paying every day? No. No, you do like a small monthly thing, and you're good.
If you want to, you can, but no.
If you want to. Anyway, do that. Patreon.com/TMS. Frogpants.com/TMS for everything else. Send us your emails. TheMorningStream@gmail.com. And I haven't said this in a while, so I'll do it today. Follow us on Twitter @MorningStream, @ScottJohnson, @Coverville. I think that'll do it. Hey, I need a song of a request nature, maybe, or not even that. It could be just a cover from Brian.
All right, let's give you that. Yeah, this actually isn't a request. I didn't have a request for today, which is surprising being 2/22/22. I thought, oh, somebody's going to request something, but no, that's all right. And I'm glad you didn't, because I get to play something for you that you've probably never heard before. Now, it is Tuesday, 2/22/22. So I'm picking a song that begins with the word two. This is cool. This, if you recently watched the Beatles Get Back thing on Disney, you probably heard them doing this song a lot. This is one of the songs that they practice ad nauseum for Let It Be. But you've never heard this cool electronic version, which came out in 2005. The song is Two of Us. It is Skylab 2000. And it comes from the album Beatles Regrooved.
Amazing. All right, we're going to play that now, and we'll be back tomorrow with another TMS. We'll see you then.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
I am very, very Okota.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.